Well, good morning, Jacqueline, or good evening to you, where you are at the moment. It is interesting times at the moment, the World Championships, and obviously the biggest one is Justin Gatlin and the booing after that 100-metre victory over what was Usain Bolt's final run.
Yes, it was quite incredible to be in the stadium. When Justin Gatlin won, the stadium, it was utter silence for a second, and then the booing started. At one point, Justin Gatlin put his fingers to his lips to shush the crowd during his celebrations as he was going around in his lap. And it was as much, I think, that Usain Bolt had lost, as well as the recognition that the man that they has the drug history is perhaps the most controversial runner in the field had won. So it was a little bit of mix of both, very much disappointment for Usain, but also that specifically for Gatlin. But Gatlin's father has come out today and said, you know, it was very disrespectful of the crowd to then boo him during his presentation of the medal as well, which was the next day. And it does wreak a little bit of very bad sportsmanship, I think. You know, Justin Gatlin served his time. He's followed the rules. Now, we may not agree with those rules, but he is allowed to compete. And he won, and Usain Bolt was very generous in his comments about him, that saying, you know, that he's put in all the hard work and congratulated him for the victory. So a lot of people are now saying, well, if it's good enough for Usain Bolt to be so magnanimous, then maybe everyone else should be. But it's just raised massive issues for the sport. They've now got their Blue Ribbon event is now held by a former drugs chief.
Yeah.
And the issue of drugs in the sport is just not going away at all.
It would be the same, if not worse, reception if Lance Armstrong came back and won the Tour de France.
That's right.
So, I mean, I don't, you know, I can't get excited about Justin Gatlin winning the 100.
No, and it was a very slow time, and the three runners, I suppose, you know, they all took exception to questions about the times being so slow. And,
yes,
you know, they're saying, you know, Usain Bolt was saying, what are you accusing us of taking drugs? You know, this is, you know, this is outrageous. But, you know, with a sport that's been so dogged by this problem for such a long time, and not just obviously athletics, but when the sport is allowing former drug cheats, someone who's tested positive twice, not just once, the first time was for ADHD medication, the second time was for testosterone, to be allowed to run in the sport and dominate it, you know, the sport does have problems.
Mm. And he's 35, Berkey and Jack.
Yeah.
It's not like he's some young bloke on the rise.
A young pup.
Well, I think that was a big surprise too when Usain Bolt's beaten. It wasn't by the guy, you know,
Chris Coleman.
He's younger than him. It was by the guy 5 years older.
Mm.
Yeah, well, he sort of snuck up. Even the commentary was, the commentator even said Johan Blake was coming through. He ran, you know, a good fourth. But
everyone deserves a second chance.
Yeah.
I'm just not so sure you deserve a third chance, Jacqueline.
Well, yes. You know, he did say at the time, back when he tested positive in 2006, that he was being massaged with testosterone cream, that he was unaware of it. And, you know, we're hearing all these excuses. You know, we heard, you know, the tennis player today, Sarah Errani, you know, that she got a two-month ban saying, you know, she picked up testing positive to a drug because of her mother's breast cancer medication.
Yeah.
You know, her mother had spilt the drugs on the table and the food had been contaminated.
Yeah, Maria Sharapova. The ignorance, unfortunately, and having been in that sport, there's no excuse. You know the rules, you know the ASADA, you know the WADA, and ignorance, sadly, is no no excuse. Now, what about Mo Farah? He's avoiding the press at the moment.
Well, he is. I mean, Mo Farah, the question with Mo Farah is, there's been lots of suggestions in the past couple of years. He's missed a couple of tests in the lead up to the London Olympics. He was named in documents that were leaked by the Fancy Bears hackers, that internally IAAF documents show that there was a few question marks about his tests. He's being coached by someone who's very controversial and is being investigated by the US Anti-Doping Agency at the moment. So there's just a lot of noise around Mo Farah. And he has chosen not to answer any questions. He cut short his press conference. He wasn't available for any interviews before or after. There was a small opportunity for some hand-picked British journalists, and several of the big newspapers here sent along their very highly paid top journalists to, you know, attend this little gathering, and they were turned away at the door because Mo Farah is choosing who will ask him questions and who's allowed to be in a room with him to ask questions. So, you know, even that is very unusual, and it's raising questions about why he would choose to do that.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, he is a double gold medalist from two Olympics and an incredible runner.
Huge in Europe.
Massive.
Massive in Europe.
And the story behind him as well, how he got there. You wonder if that's, you know, if it's got to do with, as you said, the coach, Alberto Salazar, under investigation as well. It's just, you just hope it doesn't go down that path where there are implications going to be drawn against him. Well, it seems like there sort of are at the moment.
Well, there most definitely is. And Mo Farah was a very good runner, but he didn't make finals. He went to America to train under Alberto Salazar and suddenly is unbeatable. He hasn't been beaten in 6 years. So, you know, you can point to the training methods, the fact that he trains at altitude, that he trains differently now under Salazar, and that's the reason why. But when the allegations came out about Salazar, Farah was advised to distance himself from him. And he refused to do so. He'd rather continue having that association.
Caster Semenya, speaking of controversial figures in the world of track and field, how's her World Championships panning out?
Well, she's just, in the last 10 minutes, won a bronze medal. She's a specialist 800-metre runner. She decided to run the 1,500 metres this time as well. Everyone feared that she would also dominate this event. She was very impressive in the final straight. She was a good 10 metres behind the leaders in the last dash to the line. And she just crossed the line to finish third. But she was definitely the fastest runner in that 100 metres. So she's showing a very strong, her strength that, you know, in the 800, you know, she's unbackable favourite at the moment.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the whole controversy about whether she should compete or not, that's still, you know,
around.
She was not booed here. She was given a warm welcome by the crowd. She did beat the local hero here, Laura Muir, for the bronze medal. But it's a controversy that, she, you know, in the next couple of months, she may not be able to race because the IAAF, the world body, is recommending that there should be a certain level of testosterone, and Caster Semenya's testosterone levels far exceed what this level is going to be. So that has to get approval from the Court of Arbitration for Sport. And once that happens, there'll be a limit as to how much testosterone a female athlete is deemed to be kind of a female, which is in itself very, very controversial. So this is an issue that will be bubbling along for the next 6 months.
Sort of above my pay station in life, that.
Yeah.
But I'll try and get my head around it, Jack. Somehow. And we mentioned earlier too, mate, I know you've been concentrating on the track and field, but England with that big 177 run victory against South Africa, and we all look forward to the Ashes. So I think Moen Ali is going to become a pretty big name over there.
Well, he's already a massive name.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's going to be the Ashes is, it's exciting. People here are so pleased that that dispute was finally over in Australia because, you know, a lot of people here were very worried that it wasn't going to happen, and that the you know, supporters here have been spending huge amounts of money trying to get their travel plans organised, and they feared that they wouldn't, you know, that was a big issue here. Well, it wasn't so much the actual players, it was all the supporters and the money they'd poured into organising their travel plans.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jack. Lovely to chat and plenty to chat about as well.
Thanks, guys. You have a great week.
Jacqueline Mango there, or Magne, pardon me, over there in the UK. And it is interesting, TK. It just keeps going, mate. This world of athletics, it there's just throws up.
There's controversy. There's controversy. There's controversy.
Just keeps going.
Sorry. Of all the things, man, guys. Oh, sorry, Berg.
It's all right.
Oh, Jacqueline Mango's Magne joins us on a Tuesday morning. Oh, things amuse me at this time of morning, Berkey. Welcome to the madness of getting up early.
22 minutes past the hour.
Sorry,
of 7
mate. I wasn't good support there,
no,
was
no,
I?
All right.
I don't mention
How's
support.
That bus?
It's 7:22.